chapter 27. If you haven't been here, we've been looking through the book of Acts and looking closely at the travels of the Apostle Paul as he was on that ship heading to Rome. And we have seen so far that as soon as Paul started to go where he knew God wanted him to be and where he wanted him to be going, he was confronted with contrary winds. It wasn't easy. It never is easy when you're doing God's will. Things will happen. Satan will make sure of that to try and stop us from doing God's will. Also, God allows us to be tested to refine us as well. And as they were heading there and coming up against these contrary winds, Paul and those on the ship were slowed down. They had to change their plans, no doubt. They were frustrated. And they ended up on the island of Crete in a little place called Fair Havens. Now that sounds very nice, doesn't it? Fair Havens. Beautiful place. But it wasn't a nice place to winter in, which is probably around about 3 months, like these soldiers and those on the ship were going to have to. If you're a soldier, they wanted to travel down to the other end of Crete to a place called Phoenix, which was a lot more enjoyable for soldiers particularly. There were night spots and taverns, things that they could do to entertain themselves. Now, Paul warned them not to do this. He warned them to stay in this place of Fair Havens. It would be dangerous for them to head out to sea and travel down to Phoenix. But last week we saw how the centurion in charge of the ship made a very foolish decision. He decided that he would go down to Phoenix. And he made the decision based on three things that were very foolish reasons. He trusted in the professionalism of the sailors rather than the word from God's man. Sailors said, "It'll be fine, we can get there." While God's man was saying, "It's going to be dangerous, you shouldn't do it." He also made his decision based on comfort rather than the truth of God's word. It seemed to be much nicer if they go down there, the Phoenix. And so he made a decision based on comfort more than anything else. And he listened to the majority rather than the word of God. And so he made a decision based on three very bad reasons to make a decision. And what we came to the conclusion of last week was if you get yourself into a storm of some sort, and you get yourself frustrated, maybe you have to change some plans, maybe things are going slower than what you want, and you come to a point where you have to make a decision, it's a bad place to be if you make your decisions based on what is most comfortable, or what the majority say, or maybe what even the professionals may say, and you ignore God's word. If you're in a storm of some sort in your life, base your decisions on God's word. If you don't, well then you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. And last week we saw how the centurion decided to listen to the seamen and the majority, and he said, "What we'll do, we'll just go out a little way out into the sea, and we will just trace the shore line and go down to Phoenix where things will be much nicer." And as they went out into the sea, then they got another wind got hold of them and blew them away, and they got themselves in a big mess. Now we read of that in Acts 27 verse 14 onwards. And so let's have a reading. It says, but not long after, that is, not long after they sailed out from Fair Havens, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. The wind was just blowing us wherever it wanted. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. That is, they were trying to get that little boat that they were towing behind them onto the deck, which when they had taken up, that is, that little boat, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. So they were afraid of quicksand, so they let the sails down and were just driven wherever the wind wanted to take them. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have your word. We have your word that tells us directly your wishes and will. We also have your word that we can glean principles from as we see you deal with men and women, those who love you and those that hate you. And we can learn from that for our own life as well. And we pray that your Spirit will be with us this morning with great power, ministering to us. And that, Father, you will use your word to teach us, to keep us and protect us, and give us wisdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a pretty sad state to be in. I've never been on a boat, really, of any substance. I've never been on a boat out in the sea. But I reckon it would be pretty scary if you're on a boat out in the sea and you can say, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. All right? They're in the middle of a huge storm. Even when it's daytime, it seemed like nighttime. That's how dark it was. And no small tempest laid upon us. That means a huge tempest. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You got to the point where we're goners. It's just a matter of time before we die. That would be a scary place to be in. They were in big trouble. Everything they tried to get out of the storm had failed, and they were now at the mercy of the storm. So, how did they survive? We know they survived because we know the end of the story. And so how did they get through this? Well, today I want to look at what I have called the Lord or God's survival guide to get through storms. If you are in a storm at the moment, if you find yourself in a storm in the next few weeks, days, months, years, whatever it may be, well then, this is how you get through a storm. God's way. And we're going to look at some principles to help us. First thing I want us to notice that we need to get through a storm is we need fellowship with Christ. That's essential. We see here that Paul enjoyed fellowship with Christ. Have a look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." So he couldn't help but just remind them, "You should have listened to me." You know, he threw that out, which shows us there's a good principle here. It's okay to say you should have listened to me when you find yourself right. Anyway, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, how does he know that? For there stood by me this night the angel of God. In the midst of the storm, when it's as dark, where it feels as though there's no hope of getting through it, who is there in the middle of that storm? Well, we're told here the angel of God, which I believe is the Lord Jesus, the one who appeared in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. The reason why I believe that is because Paul very clearly says whose I am and whom I serve. Now, I don't serve an angel or a cherub, and neither did Paul. He served the Lord Jesus. He belonged to the Lord Jesus. And so this was a way of saying Jesus was with me. The Lord appeared to him. He experienced the presence of God. The Lord Jesus was right there beside him in the midst of this very dark storm, and he spoke to him. And so Paul was with Jesus. And one of the wonderful promises that we have as believers is Jesus has said the same thing to his believers, where he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the world." Regardless of what storm you may be in, or what you find yourself in, you have this promise from Christ that he will be with you throughout that storm. And if we would just look for him in the midst of our storms, the angel of the Lord would come and comfort us and give us a word of encouragement that we can cling to. You know, sadly, many times when we're in the midst of a storm, we get so overcome with sorrow and with fear that we don't acknowledge the presence of Christ and enjoy the encouragement and the strength that we can gain from him. Very similar to Mary when she was in the garden at that time of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene, where the Lord Jesus appeared to her. The risen Savior was standing right next to her, yet she thought he was a gardener. She didn't recognize him. She was overcome with sorrow. And sadly, too often we can be so busy concerning ourselves with our own human solutions to get through a problem, or overwhelmed with the fears of what ifs, that we don't spend time with the Savior, even though he is right there beside us as he promised. We don't stop and pray. We don't stop and delight ourselves in his word and allow the Lord to speak to us through us. Instead, we allow ourselves to be consumed with the storms around about us. But when storms come, there is a need to spend much time in prayer and in God's word and fellowship with him if we want to get through the storms. If you're in a storm and you haven't been praying and spending time in God's word and seeking that fellowship with him, you're never going to get through it. You're going to make some very bad decisions. You need to spend time with the Lord, as Paul did at this time. But secondly, we see that God gave him the facts to work with. He gave him a promise. When we're in a storm, we need to get the facts from God's word. This is what Jesus said, verse 24, saying, this is what Jesus said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." And so the Lord gave Paul confirmation of his promise. Paul had already received this promise in Acts chapter 23, where it says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And so the Lord had already promised Paul, hey, you're going to go to Rome and you're going to testify before Caesar. And so Paul should have been on that ship all throughout that time with great confidence in what God had promised him. Hey, doesn't matter, I'm getting to Rome. Yet we see here that Jesus came and reminded him of this promise. I like the fact that Jesus felt as though he needed to remind Paul of the promise that he'd already made him. Maybe Paul had even forgot about that promise as well and was thinking that he was a goner also. But in the midst of the storm, the angel of God stood by him and said, "Don't fear, Paul. You're going to make it. You're going to make it to Rome, just as I promised. You have to stand before Caesar yet. And also, I'm going to give you everyone else on this ship," which was over 270 men. And so Christ gave him the facts of his word. And this may be a big statement, but I do believe it's true, and that is, as believers, I do not believe we'll ever go through a storm where God hasn't already given us his word to cling to. Whatever storm we go through, we will be able to go to God's word and find a word from God, a promise from God that we can cling to get through that storm. And I don't know what storm you may be in at the moment. I don't know what storm waits you, maybe even this year. But I'll guarantee you, God has a word already in his book for you to cling to. It's not what your brother in or sister in Christ says to you that really matters. It's not what your husband or wife says. Doesn't really matter what your pastor says. It all boils down to what God has already said about your storm that really matters. So if you're going through a storm, have you searched God's word to find out what he's already said about it? And find the promise that you can cling to and trust him in. God has spoken. We can be sure of that. We need to know what he says. He's given us the facts for our storms, as he gave Paul the facts for his storm. You're going to get to Rome. That's my word. That's my promise. And all these men are going to get there as well. Thirdly, the third thing that is needed to get through a storm is there is a need for faith. Notice what Paul says in verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And that's what life's all about. Paul said, "I choose to believe God." He said, "It shall be even as it was told me." And whenever you find yourself in a storm, the only thing that you have to come to grips with is whether or not you're going to choose to believe what God says about that storm. Now, some people don't get that far. They don't fellowship enough and search God's word, so they don't even know what God says about their storm. And so they're tossed to and fro and they don't know what to believe or what to think. But once you find what God says about your storm, the only decision you have to make is, am I going to believe it or not? Hebrews talks about great men and women of faith who have gone before us as examples of how to live. Now, what made them such a success? Was it the battles they won, the people they led to the Lord? No, it's that they believed what God said and it changed the way they lived. It actually had an influence on their everyday life. That's a man or woman of faith. And you need to get a word from God and hold on to it if you want to get through your storms. And so, you need to spend time with the Lord, have fellowship with him. You need to get the facts from him, find out what his word says, and then you need to believe it. Fourthly, there's a need to let go of some things if you want to get through the storm safely. First thing we need to let go of is fear. You know, we're to let go of fearing the circumstances around us and replace it with a fear of God. Fear is good, but it can be bad depending on what you're fearing. You don't need to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 8, we see an example in verse 12 of the wrong type of fear, and then in verse 13, the right type of fear. Here in verse 12 says, "Say ye not a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Here, Isaiah, through God is saying through Isaiah, don't be afraid of what all the people are saying. Don't be afraid of the people. And he goes on to say in verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. It is God that we're meant to fear. Disobedience to God that we need to fear. And this is the type of fear that we need to have, and the type of fear that we need to be letting go of. The soldiers and the seamen had the wrong type of fear still, and it was very destructive to them. Have a look there in verse 26. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. That's what God has told Paul. We're going to have to go to an island and be cast upon it. Verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. So let me lead you up to this. God tells his servant that you're all going to be spared. He said that we're all going to have to be cast upon an island. And then the soldiers, or the seamen, began to realize after many days, hey, we can sense that land is near. Seamen are able to do that. They say there's a certain smell to land, and they get this sense. So they start to think, hey, land is near. Now they should have been saying, hey, it's coming to pass just as God's man said. There's going to be land, we're going to be cast upon an island, and we're going to be saved. They should be excited. But we read here, verse 28, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And so they're getting closer to land. The water is getting shallower. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. So this isn't really making sense. God has told through them, through his servant, hey, we're all going to be spared, but we're going to have to be cast onto an island. And then after many days, they start to sense land is there, and they test it. Yes, it's getting shallower, and so they should be getting excited. Yes, God's word's coming to pass. But instead they go, oh no, we're getting close to the land, and it's probably going to have rocks there that we're going to be smashed apart on. They feared the rocks. Earlier they were fearing quicksand. Now they're fearing rocks. No matter what you go through in life, the reality is if you don't have a word from God that you're clinging to and you're trusting Him, you will find anything to fear. That's a reality. You will be afraid of anything and everything if you're not trusting the Lord. They had to let go of fear, the wrong type of fear. You know, today, I think we live in a society that promotes fear. That's why we have warning signs on everything. You get by paint and it says, warning, do not drink. Like, duh. You know, I haven't checked it lately, but an aerosol, do not spray in eyes, you know, or something like that. They have warning signs everywhere for anything. And then you get told, don't eat too many eggs because you'll get cholesterol and die. But then they say, no, you need eggs because it's a good cholesterol. So you're not sure. So you're afraid of eggs all of a sudden. Then they say, the water has certain things in it. It's going to make you sick and it's going to kill you. So you don't know if you should drink water or what sort of water. And then they say that you need to go get it sun, because if you don't have enough sun, you're going to get sick and you might die. But they say if you get too much sun, well, then you will get cancer and you're going to die. And so there is fear everywhere. People want to be scared, it seems. You know, to be honest, I don't need warning labels or any other people to help me find something to fear. I can find enough to fear without any help. All right? A lot of us are like that. And these men, instead of being thankful to God that the island was coming, land was coming, as he promised, and being happy about that, they decided to fear instead. You know, I'm not sure who said this, but I read that doubt is only a place to stand while you decide between faith and unbelief. That's a good little saying. Doubt is only a place to stand while you decide between faith and unbelief, because they are the only two places you can really stand. And so if you have doubts about something, that means you're in a position where you have to make a choice if you're going to believe or not believe God and his promises. And you can't stay in that state of unbelief or that doubting for too long. You'll either lapse into unbelief or you will believe. People say that faith is a leap into the dark. And I would like to attest that that is completely wrong. It's a leap into the light. Faith is a leap into substance and evidence, where you have God's word that's been proven. He says, this is what I say, this is what you are to trust in, and you leap into the light of God's word. Doubt is a leap in the darkness, because you just don't know what's there coming. These men on the ship had exchanged faith in God's word for another fear, that is rocks. And so what did they do? They put the brakes on. It says there, verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And so when they're heading for the shore, as God said they would, what do? They throw the brakes on, cast out the anchors, four of them, slow everything down. We're always doing things backwards, aren't we? When it's time to stop and stay, we want to lift up the anchors and get going, to our dread and disaster often. When it's time to get going, oh, it's too scary, we throw the anchors over and we slow down. We do everything backwards so often. And that's what they did. And it says there, once they'd thrown the anchors over and wished for the day. Now that just shows they didn't really understand God and his word. They wished for the day. They should have been rejoicing in what God had promised, yet they wished. Yet how often do even Bible-believing Christians wish for the day? Instead of believing what God has said and trusting that, they wish. Too many Christians wish to spend their time wishing because they don't have a clue what God wants. And they don't know what God has said. We need to let go of fear. We need to have courage in what God has said, resting only on what God says. And then we not only need to let go of our fears, the wrong type of fears, we also need to let go of our human solutions. We see here in verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, or pretending as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And so, get these. There were three groups on that ship, really. There were the soldiers, there were the seamen, and then the prisoners. And even though they had received a word from God, they're all going to make it safely to shore, we see that the seamen are still scheming. They said to the soldiers, hey, we're just going to go and throw over a few more anchors, okay, to slow the ship down. And when they're down there, they get the boat, the little life raft that they had, and they're throwing that over and they're lowering that down to hop in it and escape. You guys could just be on your own. They don't want to stick with Paul and the others. They're going to try and sort out their problems their own way. Nice guys, we'll just leave you to yourselves. Paul says to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these, that's talking about the sailors, abide in the ship, ye, that is, the soldiers, cannot be saved. We all got to stick together. Now the centurion had to make a decision. Let him go, or say, get out of here, I'm hopping on that instead. Or listening to what God has said through his man. We read verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now that was a brave thing of the centurion. Now he's starting to trust God's man who had a word from God. Okay, we're going to believe what you said, Paul, and we're just going to be in this all together. Either God's going to come through and we're going to all survive or we're all dead. He started to trust. You know, I know we don't like it. But often God wants us to be in that place where we're right on the edge. We've cut loose every means that we have of sorting things out. And if God doesn't come through, we're in trouble. We often don't like to be there, but that's usually where God wants us to stay or go to many times, so that when he does come through, he is the one that gets the glory. And we learn to love him and grow to know him more. The only way to grow in faith in your God, so you don't have those doubts, is to have more opportunities to trust him and see him come through for you. That's the only way. You lock yourself in a little room and have food fed to you, and then you get an x-ray every week to make sure you don't have cancer or you don't have anything else bad happening in your body, and you stay away from sun and all that terrible water and all those other things. I'm telling you what, that isn't how you grow to trust Christ and see a God who really loves you and enjoy peace that comes from him. It's by having to trust him every step of the way. You know, a couple of years ago, I was trying to teach this to some of the One Way kids. And so I asked for someone who would be brave enough to trust me to come up the front. And if I remember right, I think it was Ash Lacey. When he was smaller, I probably couldn't do it to him now. But I got him to come here and stand up here and close his eyes and fall backwards. And I promised him I would catch him. Said, Ash, I promise you I will catch you. And so he had to trust two things. One, I was strong enough to catch him. So it's probably not good he does it now. All right. But then he had to trust that I'd actually be willing to do that. All right, I'd be nice enough to catch him. And he was a little bit hesitant, but he fell backwards and I caught him, much to my relief. All right, I was strong enough to catch him. But then I asked him to do it again. He did it again. Then again, I got him to do it 4 or 5, 6 times. By the 6th time, or before then, he'd just get up, close his eyes and fall back. All right, there was no concern. He had grown in his faith of me to catch him because he was able to test it time and time again and prove me to be trustworthy. Now that's how we grow in our faith of Christ. You want to grow in your faith of the God of heaven and his word? Well, then you have to get into the storms and then trust what he has promised to get you through. And then you'll see at the end of the storm, hey, he got me through and he did what he promised. And so the next time you have a storm, you may not be quite as scared to trust him. I wonder if David would be as nervous to go up against another Goliath after he had such a success with the first one. And one question you need to ask yourself is, has God said something about your storm, or hasn't he? And once you've determined that God has spoken something and made a promise, well, then you have to ask yourself, am I going to trust him that he will come through without all my scheming? And we're willing to cut those ropes and let all those other little plan Bs and Cs and Ds go and just trust that God will keep his promise. That's what they had to do. And then, lastly, we must learn to let go of things. Paul said to them to get their food, have a good feed, and then it says in verse 38, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. They threw the excess wheat overboard. This was food they were throwing out. Why? Because they didn't need it anymore. God said that they're going to make it to shore and they're going to go on an island. And that's where they'll be. So they didn't need this. So they were getting rid of the stuff they didn't need now. There was a need to let go of some things. And we have principles, or not just principles, we have verses in God's Word where if we're going to run the race that is set before us, we need to lay aside every weight that slows us down. There are going to be things that God says, I want you to let go of these things. Not sin. He's already told us to get rid of sin. Not sinful things, what I'm meaning. There's things in life that are going to slow you down to grow or to trust. And God's going to say, although it's not sinful, it's time to get rid of that. So you can really learn to trust me and grow. And if God wants you to get rid of some things because it's slowing you down, listen to him. If that's what he's convicting you of. And that's what they got rid of, some weights, so they can get through the storm. And this is when you're in a position to get through a storm, when you have fellowship with Christ, when you get the facts or promises of his word, and when you cling to them and nothing else and trust him. You let go of your fears. You let go of your own human solutions. You get rid of the weights. When you do that, and you've done that, you're ready for the ride of your life as you are with God going through this storm. And these men did all this, and they were ready for the ride of their life. And we're going to see that ride next Sunday morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word that we can cling to. Forgive us when we think we know better than you and we don't even go to your word for the solutions. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us with what we're facing now. Help us for what we may have to face this year. That, Lord, we would cling to you and stay close to you and trust you, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.